Hello, my name is Richard Long. I'm the Executive Director of the Learning First Alliance. The LFA is a partnership of leading education organizations representing more than 10 million members dedicated to improving student learning in America's public schools. We share examples of success, encourage collaboration, and work towards the continual and long-term improvement of public education based on solid research. Today, as part of our celebration of Public Schools Week, I'm pleased to introduce you to Anna King. She is the National PTA President, and she has also been a local and state PTA President. So she comes to us with a wealth of experience about not only the parents' perspective, but also how parents should be and are involved in education. Anna, thank you for joining us. I know that you're taking time away from your 3 children and 11 grandchildren, as well as your spouse of 35 years. So we want to also thank them and celebrate all of that with you as well. Anna, what makes you excited about education?
Thank you for having me. First, Rich, I appreciate being here and given this opportunity. What I find exciting about education is that it's our future. Inside of our school buildings, we have these amazing children and young adults that are going to blossom into future leaders and future workforce. And what has been really exciting this year across the country, we have all embraced change and we've showed how much resilience that we have. We know that we'll never go back to what was normal in the past, and we shouldn't. We should always be willing to learn from our past because it makes us better. And it was really empowering this year watching our PTAs band together to find innovative ways to help our students and our families and our staff and our teachers throughout this pandemic. They really pushed the envelope to make sure that our children and young people had access and tools and resources and the support that they needed during the pandemic. And that has really made me proud to watch our communities and schools come together to impact change, especially when all of our children needed it the most.
The innovations and adaptations that parents had to bring to education this year had been hard on them and on their students. Can you talk a little bit how they coped?
Oh, it was. It was extremely hard. It was something new. We've never gone through a pandemic or this type of storm. So just think about many of our parents not having technology and our students not having technology and our teachers and our staff given the opportunity to be able to and teach virtually. So it was hard, but it was something that everybody got together and they worked together to solve this problem. And was it perfect? Absolutely not. It wasn't perfect. And everywhere we look, we know that there's so many disparities across the country and inside of our schools. But our parents found out how hard it was for teachers to teach inside the classroom. So you saw parents taking more of a teaching experience and working beside teachers when teachers had to do it online. You saw teachers becoming well in tune with technology to be able to have access to teach our students. So it was a different norm for everybody, but you got to see everybody working together and pulling together, totally different than what we've ever done before.
I think you're right that we saw, especially early on in the pandemic, people started dropping their preconceived notions about who did what and how it was done. But now we're hearing more challenges from our political leaders. How are parents coping with both the vitriol and the exhaustion?
They're doing it one day at a time. That's as simple as I can say it, right? One day at a time. We know that our parents are stressed just as well as our students and our teachers. There are a lot of issues that they're facing. And we can just say right now, safe schools. We can talk about creating a safe environment where our kids feel comfortable with coming back to school and our parents feel comfortable with our students being back in the school. And the same for our staff members and our community members. We have a lot of inequities across the country still. And if anything has happened, this pandemic has really shone a light on that, right? In our schools and communities, inequities that we already knew existed. And so it's extremely important for our parents and our communities to really push to get the resources that our schools need to make sure that our kids are successful.
One of the themes we're following this year, and you've just touched on a couple of key points, is about creating safe equitable and engaging schools. How do you see parents actually able to do that? Are they just watching on the sideline?
They're making sure that they call their Congress leaders, their state leaders and legislators and senators and community leaders. They're making sure that they're reaching out to talk about funding, government funding that is made to make sure that all of our schools are successful. Because one thing that we know, like I said before, is that the disparities in the quality of access to educational opportunities is not there for every student. And so we have parents going and having meeting with legislators, doing it virtually. This past year, we were very fortunate to have something that we do every year called a legislative conference, where we had parents meeting with leaders in DC to talk about the inequities when it comes to school funding, school safety, infrastructure, healthy schools, and mental health concerns that we were talking about. And so it's been pretty cool to make sure that we have our parents' voices at the table. We've had too many school shootings this year, and our parents and families, we're urging our parents and families right now to get in contact with Congress and state capitals and community leaders to push for common sense gun violence prevention measures. When I have grandchildren telling me when they come home from school how scared they are that somebody will come into their schools and hurt them and their friends, that's pretty scary. And they should be thriving in our schools. So we're having these tough conversations, and our parents are having these tough conversations. We also need to make sure that our parents and caregivers are creating a response plan and working with staff to know what those plans look like inside of their schools and in their communities. And if there's not one, find out why not. And it's not just Congress. It's not just the legislators. It's also with our school district members and our staff inside of our school. We should be working together. And our parents are doing that. They're pushing the envelope. And we've seen so many cases across the countries of our PTAs doing wonderful work.
Just so you know, I was a local PTA president, and I found the experience to be incredibly enlightening. At that point, I had over 20 years experience working in education public policy and actually being engaged with my fellow parent and working with the teachers. In having a structure to work with the teachers was just incredibly helpful. So I really admire what you're doing and talking about. You've used the word equity a couple of times. I think we're having a tough time with that as a society now. What can the PTA teach us about equity?
Well, we know that many of our schools are under-resourced, and many of them don't have the resources that they need. Our staff doesn't have what they need to be successful. Many kids learn different. And so we can throw one pot of money this way and say, hey, all of you treated the same. That is not what equity is. Equity is making sure that all of our children have what they need to be successful. And so our parents right now are having these tough conversations to make sure by looking at school budgets, they're learning how to do the finances for the school and being part of the conversation and educating themselves. And then they're having these conversations with the school district. And school district is saying, hey, we need more funding because we don't have enough. And then they're going to talk to legislators. The great thing about PTA that I find very interesting is seeing how inspiring our leaders are and how they have this go-to mentality to make sure that all of our kids are successful. And that's what they're doing. They're at the table. They're making sure that they're at the table. And if there isn't a table for them to sit at, they're creating tables and inviting people to have these conversations, these one-on-one conversations, to make sure that they're talking about the inequities in the school. The important piece is knowing what they are and what in your schools and what they look like. And so if you don't know equity or what that looks like in your school, it's a great opportunity to learn about your school budgets, your district budgets, and how they work and how they impact our students.
I also like how you're talking about it's to be successful, that it isn't just the resources, but the resources with a purpose. I think that is a really important lesson for people to learn and to work with. What are you proudest about PTA and its members?
Everything. We are diligent volunteers. That's the great thing about it. It's a volunteer association. And what we have done during this pandemic is amazing. We have seen our mission become more important during this pandemic than I have seen over the last 20 years. And I'm not going to take anything from that because we have done some amazing work throughout this association. But these last couple of years, we have created position statements that talk about systemic racism. We have focused on mental and socially emotional health well-being. Our PTAs have showed their communities, have showed the resilience that they've had. And our students and our families have shown the same thing. But what has been really exciting was seeing how many of our PTAs have stepped up across the country to help food insecurity by expanding access to food banks, creating new locations for families to pick up food. They organized and managed meal and food deliveries that went straight to homes. They helped bridge the digital divide by placing hotspot buses in key locations that had Wi-Fi, because we know that many of our children weren't able to have internet service. Not only that, but they provided hotspots for families to use at home. They provided headphones, keyboards, monitors, and other equipment to make sure that our students were able to complete their schoolwork. But they also provided resources to support the mental and social emotional well-being of students and families in their schools and communities. And they did that by providing curriculum to help train our guidance counselors on how to navigate through the mental health issues that our children are facing. And so PTA has been advocating for children for 124 years. Next year will be our 125th year. We've been doing the same thing from day one by using our voices, by advocating for the best of any and everything when it comes to our children and our families and our communities and schools.
I think that you should feel really empowered by the advocacy that you perform. All too often, we talk just about one thing, whereas PTA talks about the health, welfare, and education of children and their families. It's an important lesson for all of us to learn. It's just not one piece of the puzzle.
Right. It takes all of us to make this village work. It does. It's not just one person. It doesn't just fall on the parents, and it doesn't just fall on the educators. It falls on all of us working together.
You've also mentioned a couple of times social emotional learning. And I know at times that scares citizens, parents, and community members to think that the school is getting inside kids' heads. How do you cope with that as the PTA trying to navigate misunderstandings or poorly articulated ideas?
Well, this past year, we've had the opportunity to work with many organizations and associations across the country, like the nation's pediatricians and psychiatrists and psychologists and school counselors and teachers. We have worked together and created resources. I would encourage anybody that's listening right now to go to pta.org/mental health. And we have a plethora of information from resources of how to talk to your children, how to talk to family members, how to talk to staff. Because the one thing that we've recognized, this has been really hard on our students and our educators and families. This is something that we've never experienced. And so creating these resources for our parents to have right at their fingertips with talking points, what kind of things to look for in your students and even in yourselves to make sure that you're taking care of your mental health. Because as parents, we want to make sure our children are safe and we want to make sure that they're fine. And sometimes we don't take the time to make sure that we're fine. And so we're encouraging everybody to go to our website and to look at these wonderful resources. But we're also asking our parents to have these one-on-one conversations with their teachers, right? We know our children the best. And so if we see something off, we should be having these conversations to let the teacher know, hey, my child is not feeling safe today or feeling well today. And these are the things that I've seen happening. And I just wanted to bring it to your attention because you and I can work together to make sure that my child is successful. These are the tough conversations. And I know it's scary. It's scary for everybody. It's something that we haven't been through. And I've watched my children navigate through the storm right now that we're soon to be out of, and I'm hoping pretty soon. Watching them and how they've been taking time to make sure that their children are okay, but also to find out the resources. Not only have they been to our PTA website, but they're also going online and finding out other stuff that can empower them to help their children with.
I think that is a wonderful statement about how any of us can learn how to cope better, get information. Mm-hmm. But I also want to underline going to the National PTA website, the information that's there about children's development, about growing up, about working with others is significant and on point. I think we all owe you and the 124 years of experience a debt of gratitude for what you've done. In summary, you talked to us a lot about being an advocate for the well-being of children. What thoughts would you like to leave us with?
Encouraging our parents to collaborate with teachers and our teachers to work with our parents. Sometimes we don't have the same conversations, and sometimes we make assumptions about one another, right? Many times I've heard from teachers, parents are not engaged. They're not engaged in our schools. And I've heard parents say, well, they don't want us in our schools. But right now is the time where we need to be working together successfully. We have a lot of things facing our children, and we have to have these tough conversations and create these working plans that will help make sure that our students are successful. And the only way that we can do that is by having two-way conversation with our teachers and our staff and our buildings, making sure that you have their phone numbers, they have your phone number, your email address. My daughter says, well, I don't do either one of those. I text now, right? Each generation is different. And so if a teacher texts her, which she does all the time because she checks on her child twice a week, just to say, hey, how's he doing? Is he having a good day? Is there anything you need from me? These are the conversations that need to be had. And learn. If you don't know if there is a safe school plan in your school, find out what it is. If there's not one, help create one, because each school should have a safe plan inside of the school. Get to know your district leaders. And I'm going to encourage everybody to go to PTA.org again. And I'm going to say /healthy minds, because I'm thinking about the mental health right now, but it is PTA.org/healthy minds, where you can get a lot of more information. Build a collaboration as a team, not in different silos. And that's key. Our parents and teachers working together, it's going to be successful to make sure that our kids reach their fullest potential, which is our mission. PTA's mission is to make every child's potential a reality by engaging and empowering families and communities to advocate for all kids. We've had that for 124 years, and we want to keep doing that 124 years later, because we know the importance of making sure that our families and our communities and our schools and everybody involved in our schools work together to make sure that our kids are successful in an equitable way. Our kids should feel safe, welcomed, and given the resources they need to be successful. And the only way that that can happen is when our parents and our educators work together.
Hannah King, President of the National Parent Teachers Association, I want to thank you for taking the time today. And I also want to thank you as a parent for sharing with us not just your intellect and your guidance, but your passion and your touch. You make it easy for me to want to get engaged. And I think more people need to appreciate how we need to lower our barriers a little bit and reach out our hands to shake the hands of others. Thank you.
I totally agree. And thank you for having me today. And thank you for all that you're doing and for having this podcast.